Talk to him. We're just two unapologetically black women with an opinion who talk back.
Thank you guys for tuning in to a new episode of We Talk Back. It's your girl AJ.
And it's Tam Bam, y'all.
We here. And look, we got some women on this today. They got 42,000 black women to deal with. So imagine that shit.
Right.
We got the lovely Janae Smith, Davon Reeves, and India Monet. I believe they're all based out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they're all booming in real estate. One is even a hotel owner.
All right.
So listen, these are women who are getting to the bag. They're sharing their experiences with us. Even a little bit about their relationship. Because, you know, you can't come on We Talk Back and not talk about these niggas. So we be all in people's business because that's what
right.
we do. So tune in.
Thank you, ladies, for joining us so much.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Yes. So, tell us all your names and how you guys started in the real estate industry.
So we're going to start with India.
Listen, I am a real estate investor here based in Atlanta. My entry into this game is a little bit of a hell of a story. It's a long story. So let's see if I can shorten it. So I was an entrepreneur, right? I was a fashion stylist and a clothing store owner, boutique owner. And I owned my store at the time for a few years, and I was working full time, and I did a pop-up shop one day, right? So I did this pop-up shop, worked all day, was starving. I was leaving a pop-up shop at like 9 o'clock on the way to a restaurant, and out of the blue, this car comes flying up the street doing like almost 90 on a residential street and smacked the car that I was in super, super, super hard. So hard that my car went back up the street and ended up in the patio of a restaurant here in Atlanta. And our car hit a waitress and she broke some ribs.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Stopped because of a tree, right? And so I was a passenger at the time. And I guess I was just in shock because I tried to jump out the car. Our car is like smoking. It was just a whole bunch of chaos. You know, it was a bunch of people outside of the restaurant. And I started to like pull myself up out of the car and I couldn't move. I was stuck. The car was smashed down on my feet, literally. So I was able to pull my left foot up out of it, but my right foot was stuck. So it took like 40 minutes for the paramedics, the firefighters, the police, pedestrians, white folks, strangers, all trying to get this car off of my foot, cut in pieces, piece by piece, because they didn't want to cut my foot off, right? And so that happened, and by the time I got out of the chair, I mean the car, my feet was, both of them were completely shattered. So I have like 11 metal plates through my left foot and a couple of screws to my right foot. I had to get emergency surgery the next day, and I ended up in a wheelchair for about 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of began this journey, right? Because in that chair, I realized I had to create passive income. I had to create streams of income that were going to flow whether I was walking or not. Something just dawned on me. Like, you know, I had always wanted to invest in real estate, but we always think we have time. I started.
That's an amazing story. A lot of people may not have made it the way you have that happen to them. So
yeah, and that's where that financial literacy come in. Because, you know, a lot of people come into money all the time. You know, we like to think that, oh, there's no money in the black community. It's plenty of money. We just have bad spending habits.
They typically go get their bodies done.
Exactly. And guess what? That ass ain't even working.
I'm telling you.
And they're still sitting on that ass in a call center.
On a whole plate laying on their stomach riding home. Okay, so you don't see it.
What'd you say, AJ, to go work in a call center?
Yes, they get that fat ass to sit on it all day in a call center. Like, it does not make sense to me. If you're going to use the ass, if you're going to get the ass, please use it. God damn, charge people to see it or something.
Davon, tell us your story, how you got started.
So I got started working as a front desk agent at the Hyatt Regency Atlanta. So I've been in the industry for about 14 years. And I probably was at the Hyatt for about 6.5 years. I mean, I worked probably every position you could think of. Well, I wouldn't say every position, every shift, because I mostly stayed in the front office. I did task force, meaning I traveled to different hotels to help open and to help train. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know what? I need to do something else, right? I love the benefits. I love the people that I work with, but I just needed something that was a little bit more challenging. And so an opportunity came, and it was an unpaid internship. Because I knew I wanted to get out of operations, but it was hard for me to, you know, go into corporate. It was like, oh, stay in operations, right? I didn't go to school for finance. I didn't go to school for real estate. So I had a lot of strikes against me, which didn't help me, you know, trying to transition into commercial real estate or trying to transition into investing, hotel investing. And so an unpaid internship came along my way. I took it for about 3 months. Yeah, I was probably about 3 months, and I was like, you know what, I like this. This is cool. That was my introduction to commercial real estate. That was my introduction to hotel ownership. That was my introduction to the transactional side. That was when I saw the possibilities of actually developing and owning a hotel. And so I took that unpaid internship, like I said, stayed there 3 months, and then they kept me on, right? Mm-hmm. So I left Hyatt. And I stayed there for about 2 years, went to Boston, and I was there for about 2 years. And at the time, my portfolio or hotels that I was asset managing was about probably north of $1 billion. Mm-hmm. That I had to oversee the portfolio. And I just saw the amount of wealth, you know, because we had access to folks, you know, professionals checking accounts. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this real? Like, you really get this many zeros? I had to do a double check, right? I'm like, wait a minute, is this like over like 60 million in somebody's bank account? Wait a minute now, I'm in the wrong position.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it was their actual, it's like, you know, bank statement and everything. And so I was like, wait a minute, I'm helping these folks build their brand. You know, I'm helping oversee their portfolio. And I was like, you know what, it's something that I would like to do for myself. So 2017, I ventured into entrepreneurship, right? And I started my own company called The Vine Group. And then 2019, I partnered with one of my college friends, Jessica Myers, and we formed Epic Collective. In 2020 is when we acquired our first property, partnered with Nassau Investments out of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And we acquired our first hotel property in El Reno, Oklahoma. It's a home 2 suites, 85 rooms. So that's my story and my journey into hotel ownership.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. Now, let me ask you this, because that's something like really huge to jump into. Were you affected by fear at all? Like,
I did. I was. A lot of people told me, I tried to partner. It's so funny, right? I tried to partner with a lot of people because I was fearful that I couldn't do it. I felt like that I had to do with others. I didn't have enough money. Like, I just, because this is what I was surrounded by. You know, I wasn't around people who looked like me. I wasn't around a lot of people. I mean, I really around a whole bunch of old white men. That's what I was around, mm-hmm. right? White women. And that was it, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
I mean, I would go to conferences, it would be 400 plus people, and I'm the only black person.
Right.
And then you got the, you know, the servers and everything over there. But other than that, it was just me. And so I was fearful. And finally, and then I even tried to partner with black women, mm-hmm. older, who were seasoned, who had hotels.
Talk about it.
And I'm like, wait a minute. We're supposed to be working each other and helping each other. And they're like, no. And then black men, they always, I'm not downing them or anything. It's just that they were older and, you know, in their opinion, I was inexperienced. I didn't have access to capital. You know, they're just so used to doing, they're used to a certain system. And I respect it. I respect them. I'm not talking bad about them or anything, but I just realized that I can't wait on them for my dreams, right? I knew I wanted to own a hotel. And so finally, I just had to just do it on my own and just figure it out, right? I had to figure out how to raise capital. Really, your network is really your network. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize that, right? People think,
yes. Always say that.
Right.
Relationships is way. They're worth way more than anything monetary.
Right. No, I didn't. When I was starting off, I didn't have millions and millions of dollars in my bank account. I'm like, why am I buying this hotel? But what I was able to do, I was able to pull people together. I was able to pull my network. Right. I was able to pull my network, and we were able to collaborate. We were to come together, and we were able to raise capital together. And then the deal just made sense, and that's how we was able to acquire the hotel.
So did your network consist of any other brown people?
Girl, all of them, honey.
Okay. So you did find some brown people to work with.
And the thing is...
Oh, wait. These ladies.
Not on this deal.
No, okay.
But we actually just met this year. It's so funny. But
okay.
No, what I did was I remembered how when somebody didn't really give me a chance to partner with them on a deal or didn't give me an opportunity to really invest. And so what I did was I partnered with people. I worked with people who really wanted to invest, who had the capital to invest, and they not necessarily had the knowledge. I knew I had the knowledge. But partner with people who had more capital than I did, they were more capitalized, and they were have better relationships with the banks because of the side of the industry they were on, and that's how we were able to close on a deal.
So do you have any formal education? Like, did you have any, I know you said you didn't have any education in real estate, or did you do any financing?
I went to school and everything for like hospitality and sociology, but nothing like, so what I do, you
ended up doing
school for like finance. You either need to go to school for finance, economics, mm-hmm. or real estate.
Okay. So self-taught.
Right.
So experience.
Well, you know what? I mean, the people who I worked with, they went to Cornell and Harvard and MIT. So that was that, you know, I hate to say that, I kind of piggybacked with their education.
Right. But no, but that's the thing is that when Black people get a hold of anything, and that's why I think a lot of people outside of Black community, they're afraid of our potential. Because when we get a hold of some information, we excel.
But they don't think we're listening. They don't think we listen. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. And people are like, wait a minute. I was listening to y'all.
Exactly.
Right. Well, you can't let sitting there.
That's a part of the code switch. Like, you can't even let them know you know a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, Janine. All right, tell us your story. How did you start?
All right, so my story probably falls in line with our topic tonight about relationships and business and all that. So mine actually came out of, honestly, one of the worst times in my life. I was engaged to be married, planning a wedding to my daughter's father, mm-hmm. and I was coming out of work, and I got a call on Valentine's Day from another woman. And I can 100% say it spiraled me. I was like, you know what? I'm sick of working at this corporate job. I'm sick of taking their crap. I'm overweight. I'm miserable. I don't want to do this anymore. And, you know, like I was definitely kind of sad and depressed for a couple months. Probably smelled like a lot of tequila. But at the time, I had a nanny, Miss Sheila, who she's still to this day, she's been with me, with my daughter. And one day she came in the room and she was like, look, so I think you've been in here long enough. Like, you cried long enough, stayed in the room long enough. She's like, get dressed and go out. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Going out and getting back out kind of re-sparked my drive, my desire for my life. And mm-hmm. literally 2 weeks later, I quit my job. I took a new job. Mm-hmm. On the first day of work, I met my now fiance.
Okay, period.
I was absolutely not expecting to meet anybody. I was like, I'm just going to, you know, we always say, I'm going to focus on me. I'm going to do me and my daughter. And my friend's like, oh my God, you're ever going to believe in love again? It's like, yeah, girl, just to be. It's going to work out. Doesn't mean it's not out there.
Exactly.
For you. You know, God's going to give me what I'm supposed to have. Right. And I didn't like my now fiance at first. I was like, not sure. He was a financial advisor. And I was mm-hmm. like, I need more tools. I need life insurance, all these things. So mm-hmm. I gave him all my business, did all my life insurance with him, financial planning, 529 college plans. Like, he just like mm-hmm. got me in line. And so then one day he was like, you know, what do you really want to do? And I said, well, I've always wanted to do real estate. But mm-hmm. I just at the time didn't have the money, no education whatsoever except all the HGTV I had watched while I was depressed in bed. I was like, I can do this.
Right. I write down stuff.
Yeah. So he was like, what's your 401k look like? What's your equity look like? I said, equity. I said, I probably have some of that. And at the time, I had been renting rooms at my house to, like, friends, old coworkers, people like that. And I was charging them basically my mortgage. So I was just paying my mortgage down. And he's like, yeah, let's check it. He's like, hey, you know, you have about $50,000 right here. He's like, the market looks good. This is several years ago. Like, we could just kind of use your house as your first one. Let's fix it up. And I was like, yeah, I got some bonus money coming. I was like, I think I have about like 10, 15 grand coming. Like, yeah, guess I could fix my house instead of doing ugly furniture that I'm not going to keep from American Signature this year. So, like, all right. So me, my dad, and my fiance, we painted my house. My mom came, we planted my front yard, changed out cabinets, carpet, everything. Put my house on the market. I went under contract above asking in 3 days. 10 days later, I had a little over $70,000 in my bank account. Mm-hmm. Me and Nick, we moved in together into an apartment with my daughter, and we launched the business. And from there, as I was going through this thing, I was like, ugh, feels like there's no other Black women that I see out here. Like, trying to go to networking events, things like that. I just didn't see us. So I was like, I wonder if I should start a group and find other women and see if they want to, like, hang out and I can educate and teach and talk. And honestly, that's where Black Girls in Real Estate grew. So I've had Black Girls in Real Estate for over a year, and we're now at 42,000 Black women in real estate.
Congratulations.
It's turned into a huge platform. I teach, I coach, we connect, we do deals together. I have a development deal on the table. I meet all these amazing women. I met Devon in India through the platform. So honestly, it just changed my life. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those moments where I was like, okay, I'm just going to try to do something different than to continue to, like, live what I call an ordinary life. I'm going to go from ordinary to extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And that's been my complete focus, legacy building for Black women and family. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've built on that.
So your group doesn't mm-hmm. consist of Black men at all?
No.
Okay.
But they are coming to my conference. I have a conference mm-hmm. in Cancun at Breathless Resort in August. And mm-hmm. actually, a lot of women are bringing their husbands, so mm-hmm. it'll be good. But there's literally, it's just us in there. And all okay. different, so like, niches. So,
is it not open to men, or is just...
No, it's,
okay, so the reason why I'm asking these questions is because I have a few friends in real estate, a couple women, but one of my guy friends, he's out in the Midwest. He does really well in real estate. And he just mentioned, it's crazy, he just mentioned to me a couple weeks ago that he finds like that the Black women that are in real estate in his area, mm-hmm. they kind of like keep secrets. They don't... they don't really mess with the men. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how do we...
Dad, I have some students.
Like, they network, they don't network with men. They only network, you know, amongst themselves.
So I do have one-on-one students that are male. I have a couple, actually. Mm-hmm. I have males that come to the classes, but the group is specifically driven towards us. That, it's no shade. I love our brothers. No shade mm-hmm. towards them. I just think that us Black women, we need a leg up too.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think maybe the guys may feel like a shade.
Let them feel how they feel.
These niggas mad. But the thing is, like, it's no competition, right? So, because recently I've gotten into stock option trading, mm-hmm. and the guy I've been working with, he really just wants to mentor Black women, because he feels like, you know, Asian women have their Asian men, white women have their white men. And I don't know if you guys are on Clubhouse, but it's like a constant battle between Black women and Black men on display for the world to see at this point.
I agree.
Like, what's going on?
It's too much for me. Like, I do like Clubhouse, but I feel like everybody on there is in competition. So it's like mm-hmm. everyone wants to level up the last speaker. So if you're like, oh, hey, yeah, I own a hotel. Well, I went to the moon last year. And on top of
I'm sorry. I don't get that on my
schedule.
When I say I own a hotel, they get real quiet. So I'm like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of like Finesse City. And I have a lot of friends that are like, why don't you use Clubhouse? Why don't you do this and that? I'm like, I literally organically grew my entire platform to 42,000 people with no outside marketing, no promo, just me and word of mouth. Like, mm-hmm.
That's real.
And there's no shade towards any of that, because I could probably be even bigger if I did do some of that. But mm-hmm. I just don't know if, like, that's my space, by the way.
I love Clubhouse.
I love it too.
Investors from Clubhouse. I had some folks investing in some of my hotels from Clubhouse. So I don't.
So you don't like it? Y'all are going on tour soon, right? Where are y'all going, and like, what's that going to look like for you?
So we're going to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We're going to Charlotte.
Oh, y'all coming to Charlotte?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you in Charlotte?
Yeah. I'm coming to see y'all, man.
Charlotte's going to be in January.
Yep.
Okay.
D.C. Mm-hmm.
That's in September. Houston is in July.
Yep.
Miami is in November.
Miami. Mm-hmm. So, what do we have, like 5 cities? 9 cities in conference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, not including the conference, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Before we get into anything else, let's pay some bills real quick.
So, I got a question. Going back to you, Janine, mm-hmm. you said a woman called you. You need to tell us what she said. What that woman said to you, girl?
Oh, she wants the tea. Okay, I already see how this show trying to be. I want the tea.
Hey, look, we can still pull up and fight her now. I know you already moved on, but residual ass whoopings, we can do that.
Look, I'm from Chicago, so all of it took was a minute.
He mad. Don't worry about it. He mad too because you came all the way. Grooving like you. So don't even worry about it.
What did Beyonce say? He wish I was his baby mama.
Right.
Basically.
did she try to join your group? That's a big question. Did you deny her?
No.
Did you be patty mayonnaise? I would have said,
no, all you do is charge her a super premium.
I'm telling you.
A little more.
I'm telling you. Well, let me say this. Basically, she called and was like, and here was the crazy thing. The number was one of those numbers where you, like, it's the same digits as, like, the other person. So it's, like, the family plan where, like, mm-hmm. two digits are off, but the same numbers are on, like, the first couple numbers.
Right, the last four.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, man, even if I'm like, hey, man. Like, hey, babe. Like, this is Tia. And it went from there. Just, like, I've known about you, all these things. Honestly, it was crazy. My daughter's 7, so we were together almost 6 years. And in his true Atlanta fashion, just, you know, double life in it and being messy.
Yeah. So the woman knew about you, but you didn't know about her.
Mm-mm.
So essentially, she was a side bitch. Essentially.
Girl, she's still a side bitch because she can't get into the group.
Yes.
No, wait.
It's a movie. It's a movie.
Girl, you funny as hell. You can't even get in the club.
No, be not. You know, I'm petty. I'm going to wait.
We're going to have to bleep her name out there.
Oh, is that her real name? I don't even know what her I don't even know her. Like her.
Look, we don't want no legal issues over here. No slander, no libel lawsuits. Listen, right. I will bleep that bitch name out.
Thanks for being a real friend.
Are you all exclusive to black men? Or will y'all date outside of your race?
Well, hold on. Janine is in a relationship. She's getting married. India.
Is he black?
But I had this moment when I was in college. I went to DePaul University, which is like a predominantly white college.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this white boy. He was outside the club. And one of his friends ran up to him and he was like, because he was looking at me. And I felt like, oh, maybe I'll say something. His friend was like, hey, bro, there's porn for that. And I was like, oh, my God.
Not say that.
That's what he said. And after that, I viewed any white man that ever wanted to, like, talk to me, look at me. I was like, oh, well, to them, it's just
fetish. Yeah.
But never.
That's what crazy. About you,
lady? Yeah, that's, you know what? Bitch, I probably would have hockey spit on his ass. I swear to God, I'm sorry. I could be real disrespectful. I would have did something.
I was like,
what?
Yeah, it was so shocking. Actually, and I was younger. I wasn't like full Beyonce mode, but I was just.
Yeah. I always been ready to fight.
For real, I cannot believe somebody has said that. It was like that to me. It was so disrespectful.
What about you, India and Devon? Are y'all exclusive to black men?
Yeah, I don't do others. I don't know
either. Mm-hmm.
To me, it's like, oh, they're cute. Like, it's kind of like seeing kids. It's like, you know, attractive. Like, oh, like, that's a cute little boy. You know what I mean? Like, they can right. be cute like that. But it's not like,
we as black women, we're exclusive to black men, but they aren't exclusive to us.
Right.
And that's why we end up sharing so much more than we would like to, I think.
I love my brothers. I support my black men. So I will date. You know, I've never actually dated. Well, I dated that when I was younger. I did date outside my race. I dated someone who's Cuban. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the only time I dated outside my race.
But that's still like a race.
It's still a minority. Yeah, but I never.
I feel like, don't y'all feel like white men always date women that look like really more like ethnic or African?
Yes.
I don't think they're really attracted to like light-skinned brown girls. I haven't seen that.
White guy never really tried to, I take that back. When I was in Boston, I had like a couple white guys try to talk to me. But
they like real dark-skinned girls with big titties and nappy
wigs.
I done seen some nappy weave. It looked like this one girl had like a mop on her head. Like just a mop.
You know, like that now. Mat.
And I wanted to the black women.
Can we call a spade? I mean,
but listen, let me tell you, I have a whole theory about that and why when you see a white man with a more ethnic looking woman, because you know the whole thing out here, the whole conspiracy is that white people numbers are declining, right?
Yeah, I think so.
When you, especially like in Europe, places like that, you see a lot of black women with white men.
Yeah,
that's because they're trying to survive at this point. I really feel that way. I really feel like it's like survival of the fittest at this point. Because over here, you'll see more black men with white women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The genes are stronger that way. But I really feel like these white men, they're trying to survive. So why not get with a black woman that can produce?
A black woman is not going to create a white child. So I don't understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, but then the man in the home is going to have like the biggest influence on the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So science says it only takes 3 generations to change a race. So mm-hmm. now if you have the black man to the white man to the black woman, 3 more generations, you should get another white person.
Oh God, I've never heard that.
I never heard that before.
Google it. I read it.
Wait, I swear to God. What you mix with black is blacker, blacker, and blacker.
That's not true.
No,
that's not true. Look at Meghan Markle. Her baby is white.
Yeah, that baby is white.
She's part white.
Yeah, she's part white.
Too. Right. So now that's why that black woman's children will then be part white, and then you so on and so forth. So now if your father is white, usually, so you have in America, you have black men that are with white women, right? So mm-hmm. their children, 9 times out of 10. Are more inclined to then be with black men. If you are a black woman with a white man and procreating, because the man is still going to be the head of the home for the most part, your children will probably be more inclined to be with white men. Do you see what I'm saying? So you have biracial children then going with white men. Are they going to go back to a black man? We don't know because they weren't even raised by one.
That's what my point was about. Like typically, if you see a biracial male who has a white mother, he typically dates white women.
Right. Look who Drake procreated.
I'm telling you.
Not procreated with a black woman.
And as much as he loved black women bodies, like you let your seed go into, I don't want to call it a seed, you let your heir because we're talking about somebody who's worth millions and millions of dollars. You're now transferring that wealth to this Caucasian woman or whatever her, you know, whatever it is that she is. So, yeah, like you like Black woman bodies. So you get you a white woman who has the features and that's who you procreate with. Like, that's a white man. Drake is a white man.
Drake daddy is all the way Black. He is not a white man. All right, question. So do you feel, ladies, are India and Devon, are y'all single? Y'all single. Do you feel like it's harder dating now that you have, you know, greater wealth?
Yeah. For me it is. It's kind of, yeah.
Where are you located, both of you? Oh, you're all in Atlanta. So yeah. I know it's harder because, especially when you just want Black men, because the numbers are slim out there, baby. The numbers of men out there that are actually interested in women and then actually interested in Black women is very small out there.
Well, you have to cipher through. Right? So there's guys that have gone to jail. There's guys that are bisexual. There's guys that are just, you know, straight gay. Guys that have a lot of kids. Like, there's a lot that you have to kind of scout through. And Atlanta, to me, I'm originally from Chicago, so this was a very big difference when I got here. But I think men here are more preoccupied with who you are, what do you do, what do you bring to the table. Whereas,
if I hear that one more time.
Yes, because why can't women just be women? Why we got to bring the fucking table? Why do we have to bring it? No other ethnicity.
I'm so tired of hearing about that damn table. I'm like, what? Shut up. Get out my face. Stop me your table. Stop your hotel. Bump a bag. Buy me a hotel. How about that? I set you right up. Buy me a hotel real quick.
Daylon, you're like, what you got going on, though, friend?
It's hard.
Your level of dating, like, you it's either hard. Need a very submissive man that can just go.
I can't date a submissive man. It wouldn't work.
You either need like a nanny that could like come with you and do what you need to do, or you're going to have to get like a boss.
Would y'all not date men that make less than you?
No.
No.
Not me.
Well, I mean,
it's you can make less, but your net worth, right?
Yeah. I mean,
when she's saying you can have a high net worth, you can make less only if you got a high net worth. That's what you're saying?
I mean, because it's kind of hard because it could be intimidating, right?
Right.
You know, it could be intimidating, you know, because technically the man is supposed to quote unquote make more, right? Mm-hmm. And it can be, we can say this, but will a man really truly feel secure that his woman is, men, I hear them say it, and then when it happens, it's completely, it's a different ball game. They can't handle it. You know, if especially if they want a hard working woman, but if the woman gets the spotlight and if she's doing this and she's doing that and she's making more, it's
you know why they want a hard working woman? Because that's all they saw their mom doing, right?
Absolutely. So you know what I mean? You say you want somebody to what you bring it to the table, like shit, what you want? Like you said, you know what I mean? Like you want somebody that's bringing a lot to the table. So then you get a woman who brings a lot to the table, but then you want her to be some. That's a whole other conversation.
Right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you have somebody who does bring a lot to the table, but can't, you know, might have meals from, what is that, Fresh to Go, Fresh Start, whatever.
Or have a nanny and a maid.
Have a nanny.
Right.
And a maid.
Company. Like, there's some differences. When you really are a true entrepreneur, like, the superwoman syndrome, in my opinion, is very real. I think we've all done it. We've all tried to kill ourselves for our business. And we know that that's not a healthy state to operate within. Self-care and being able to step back is important, especially when you have a platform. You know, people say, oh, yeah, 42,000. Guess what? That's 42,000 women that are
trying to be responsible.
That need certain things that you're servicing, that you're working with. It's a non-stop factor. Yeah. So self-care really comes into that. You have to have a partner that understands building and doing. And hopefully
they're supportive. Supportive.
Absolutely.
So, India, what were you about to say? Because when Tam asked that, yeah, you look like you had a difference in opinion, maybe.
So at first I was saying the reason why they are so big on this table in Atlanta, I think, is because there are so many successful Black women, so they almost can have a choice. They know that they're slim, and there's a whole lot of us. So I call it a playground. Atlanta's a playground because they have so many choices, right? And they come from, like, Janine's from Chicago, I'm from Ohio. Those smaller areas are, you know, like hoods. They kind of get with the people that they're with early and stay with them for a while. And when you don't, like, elevate, right? Like, go to college and get your master's, you don't get to experience as much, right? So here you have a lot of educated women, a lot of Black entrepreneurs, one of the highest, this is probably the highest concentration of, you know, women entrepreneurs. So they got a whole lot to choose from so they could play more games. But aside from that, you were saying, would I date somebody that makes less than me? My thing is, I know how to create income, right? And I know how to purchase assets that are going to create more income for us as a couple. And so sometimes they just don't have the knowledge. Like, so it kind of depends on their drive, like their foundation, right? Do they have any type of foundation? Because if you don't have anything, if you have no educational background, most of the time you don't have the discipline to do what I'm going to teach you how to do or to maintain or to teach you how to get. So you can't be like making a whole $100,000 less than me, but you know, maybe 10, 20 grand less, and then we gonna flip that. You know,
I like that.
The thing is that I never really had a project before. My man, they gonna be cheating, and doing dumb shit like that. Like, they gonna make some money, they gonna have a business, but oh, they gonna sell drugs, but they gonna be on some real bullshit because you know most men who get money, they gonna have women. So it's just like, it's like now it's like a, what's the damn trade off? Like your sanity, because you fucking bitches or like
that part. So is having a woman outside of you, let's say you're with a man who's making you very happy, Janine, you are. If he has a woman outside of you and you find out about it, is that a deal breaker for you?
I'm out.
Out. You completely out.
That's a deal breaker. Fuck you money. She out.
That's a deal breaker.
I am not about that. Yeah. And even when I found out the first time, that was the final day. Broke it off, ended my like engagement, called off the wedding. All that was done within 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
I had nothing to think about.
See, it's not a deal breaker for me. A piece of pussy on the side is not a deal breaker for me, honestly.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
It's just me.
Is we too old? Okay, we're too old. You should have gotten enough.
I am family oriented, but I just don't have. I feel like sometimes we set unrealistic standards for one another when it comes to our real human nature.
I used to
feel that way until I've seen men. You know, I've seen relationships and marriages that have been together for years and years and years, and the men did not, of course they look, but they didn't, they didn't cheat, they didn't step out. So
I didn't, growing up, all my friends' parents were married. I never saw a divorce. My parents, I'm 34, my parents have been married for 35 years, high school sweethearts. So I really firmly believe in the power of marriage and the power of like the right person. I think it just takes the right person. And if you get that, you might feel a little wiggle room, like, ooh, I might. But when you get that one nigga that just does it for you, girl, that's a different, it's a different feeling to be pursued and loved on. Like, girl, think about it right now.
Okay. She's all excited.
So he gets some head tonight. And
let me go to bed early.
The changes are mine. You just got to meet the right one. He's out there for you, Sam. I know that.
Mm-hmm. The right one or the right two and the three.
No. Let me tell you,
one nigga is stressful, man. I'm telling you, one nigga is stressful enough.
I don't know how men have like five women because I would be sick of me. Like,
because they love headaches. They love headaches. Like they, like I, you know, I was just talking to one of my exes recently and I'm like, you know what? You should just take a break because he's not a bad man, but he runs through women. And I'm like, I'm just happy I'm not one of those women no more, but you should really take a break, dog. Like, how do you, I said, are you planning on, you know, getting some real money? Cause I mean, he owns a home, he has a job, you know, but you cannot build no type of wealth exerting your energy on bitches all day long. Mm-hmm. Like, how?
Mm-hmm. You're not focused.
You're not focused.
Because you're just releasing every
which way. Like, what?
And getting their energy.
You know what? I'm going to think about it. You're right. I'm going to think about it. And you're just letting all these, you putting your demon energy out there and receiving all this demon energy. Like, you're going to always be confused. Mm-hmm. Like, just take a break from fucking bitches sometimes. Like, you're about to be 40 years old and still out here smashing everybody he can get his hand on. It's ridiculous. Something like that.
Are all of you mothers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you feel like juggling motherhood and business? Or do you ever feel like you're failing on one end?
Oh, yeah. Taking to the other? Yeah.
So, Devon and India, you guys are not in relationships, right?
No.
I'm half.
How do y'all feel about proposing to men?
I'm halfway.
How do y'all feel about the phenomenon?
Wait, the phenomenon of proposing.
Huh?
India said she's halfway.
I'm halfway in one, but you will never catch me getting on my knee. That's
no, I ain't about to propose. No, I'm not doing it.
If either one of y'all do, I'm gonna come and grab both.
You don't have to worry about it because it's not gonna happen.
I would be like,
tackle her ass, don't it, because you're cutting the dynamic.
I'm already kind of like dominant. Now I can be, you know, submissive if when I get married, but it just won't work. I feel like there's definitely a balance and there's definitely roles. I believe in that. And that's like the man, they really like plan really big, two big things, that first date and that proposal. And that's something that they should have, that they should plan and be in control, because then that just messed up the dynamics and the balance.
Yeah, and it's almost the same thing as a man taking you on a date, like you on your cell phone looking through all the different niggas, like, let me see, sending mass text messages out to people who gonna take me on a date. You wanna go out to eat? Like, it's the same thing as getting on your knees and asking a man to marry you. Like, if that man wanted to take you on a date, he would have planned it and he would have hit you up. If that man wanted to marry you, he would have planned it and he would have got on his knees to marry you.
Jim Jones. There's a reason for it, right? Like,
I need, look, y'all should have told me to bring my teacup, my mug, because this is just a whole little conversation right here. This is a little R-rated for me, okay? I'm clutching my pearls right now, okay? Clutching your pearls. She was like, Devon, boo, I got you. I'm drinking a tea for us, boo. I got you, boo.
Devon, you ain't paying for no dates neither?
Girl, I ain't paying for no dates.
Is it okay to wear a bonnet in the airport?
No, I don't know how to wrap my hair.
So I'm
because
like,
you got that decent hair. Hush, you out of this conversation, okay?
Exactly.
Hush.
I wrap the hair. High school, Janine. That was high school. We was combing them rocks.
Yeah, what's that, a doobie or something?
What was
that called?
Yeah, that's like 20 years ago.
A doobie.
Yeah, but that's like, yeah, that's old.
Okay, y'all, that's all I know about a hair wrap.
I mean, I've seen girls wear it in the store, in the airport, going shopping to the mall. I'm like, why?
It's not okay. I don't like it.
I don't know.
That's a bit wearing your bed clothes outside.
Girl, I've seen that too. They wear their pajamas. I mean, in sex. What? You in sex and you got on the bonnet, baby girl? What
the
you doing?
Furry slipper, the little furry,
and furry slippers.
That's because we live in Atlanta. That's strippers. They got off of work, took the money.
Right.
I'm with you, India. It's like, you don't know what people got going on. Like, somebody could have just passed away and they hopping on a flight. You know, I just don't care that much about other people. Like, with the bonnet, like, none of my friends would ever wear a bonnet to the airport. Those are different people. Mm-hmm. Okay. We need a different alien over here. Like, they need something else. So I don't really care about what they do.
My grandmother would turn over in her grave. Like, I was raised where you couldn't even go to the kitchen table unless you brush your teeth and wash your face. So a bonnet couldn't even come to the kitchen table. So you think I'm going outside with a bonnet? Mm-mm.
We weren't even allowed to eat outside.
But I feel like these are PPP travelers.
I don't want to say it, but you did.
If you don't let people leave them people alone in their check, Okay. PPP travelers, they're going over there to Dominican Republic to get their ass done.
I'm just about to say that.
Hold on. Before we get into anything else, let's pay some bills real quick.
So we have a segment on our show called Dump It Story, right? And it's where women, and we have also shared a time where we got played.
Ooh, oh, man. Reason. This is public, y'all. This is public. Look, if my best friend, she's like, wait a minute, let me call in. I got a story for y'all.
Girl, I need her to do it.
Like, I got several stories.
Send her the link, child. Get her right on here.
I love India. India is the cool and calm and collective one out of us. She's just.
And I'm just laughing.
I'm trying to think. I'm sure I got a couple. You know, I have a great relationship with my exes. Great relationship. One of them was my mentor. He has like 52 properties.
Okay, let's talk about that just right quick before we get, because I do have a simp series from a man. So simp series is going to be like your equivalent to a dumb bitch story. But just right quick. So you're in a situationship. You're getting into a relationship, right? How does your significant other feel about you having contact with men that you've been with before?
He talks shit and that's about it. He can't really stop it. So, you know, we kind of like alpha females. I'm a Gemini too. So
I love y'all, girl.
I make them comfortable, but you can't shut down. You know, like I said, my exes are like business partners for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I always have good relationships with my exes. So I don't, you know, it's not something he can really stop. He has talked, you know, he has talked some shit about it. But then another one of my exes owns, 100% owns a dealership. And he had me have him looking for him a BMW last week. So, hey, they're resources for both of us at this point.
that's always my thing is like, I don't want to get rid of good people.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an ongoing argument in my relationship. Like, I don't want to get rid of good people. And I'm not asking you to either. Like, if you know some people that are good for you, good resourceful people, mm-hmm. good. And also just even meeting new people. New friends can oftentimes get you places old friends can't. Right. So we just limit ourselves to each other for 50 years. Like, how the fuck are we supposed to grow our network, our net worth, everything? You can't.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me find this simp story right quick. So this guy's name is I Was Born Fly 86 on Instagram. All right. So he says, I was dating this girl in 2007. After a few months of talking, she asked me, could I help her pay for school and pick up a few bills in the house because she was going to cut her hours from one job to focus on school. So I did pay $3,000 for one semester of school, took the money out of my 401k, and I was paying her rent, car note, and car insurance for 6 months. Also $1,600 a month for rent. I even pick up a second job to support her and her dreams. After a few months, something wasn't adding up. To make a long story short, the money I gave her for school, she used it to help her boyfriend get a lawyer to fight a drug case. She was also selling drugs on the side for him. Once he got out of jail, they started back dating. But she called me and said he had been beating her every day since.
Good luck, sis.
That sounds like a some series and a dumb bitch story all rolled in one.
When you were telling the story and when you say he took out his 401k, I knew where it was going. I knew it was going to go to the jail, but I knew it was going to be she messed up. And so poor boy. Now he ain't going to trust
Terrence.
See, like that be messing it up.
Exactly. Because that could have been somebody who was willing to go in his 401k to help y'all get a property. You know what I'm saying? So now he's not even trustworthy of women anymore because of one bitch.
Again,
that's a bitch.
We got to do our homework, right? We got to tell the next. Who are these people? That's the problem. Yeah. Girls are so quick to just give it up, do all this stuff. Like, we got to check.
He was good. It was her. He wasn't checking.
What I'm saying is like, even with him, he should have done
discernment
to know what you got going on. You know, like,
she could have been a con artist.
But probably
did. Let me say something because this is not. Ooh, I feel bad for you, Terrence. But
I feel bad for Terrence too.
You don't just give money away, right? Our brand is called labels. You create income streams with the money. I would have said, I'll give you the money to start an Airbnb, and that'll create that extra cash for your bills or whatever. Now, you know, you gave the money one time and the money just got blown. This is why even when my parents or family members come asking for money, once you give that money away that one time, they're going to come back and ask for some more.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Teach them what to do with the cash so that the cash creates ongoing income. Whether it's, I don't know, go get an Airbnb, a Toro, start an ebook, an e-commerce business, whatever. This is why you don't just help people by giving out money or just spending the money. Because once it's spent, and he didn't got spent. Terrence, stop spending your money on girls. That's all.
But Terrence, we appreciate your good heart, you know.
Yeah, you have a good heart.
Well, go ahead, let me plug yourself again. Tell us your Instagram. Tell us where everybody can find you.
At Davon Rees, DAVONNEREAVES. You can find me on Instagram, LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm on Clubhouse.
All right. I'm at Miss Janine Marie, JEANINE. And you can find me at Black Girls in Real Estate, blackgirlsinrealestate.com, and Black Girls in Real Estate on Facebook. So we're pretty seamless. Love to have you.
It's India Monet, so it's underscore first India Monet on Instagram. My brand is Land Over Labels, which is at Land Over Labels on Instagram, and landoverlabels.com is where you can find us. Oh, we just created our new tour page, which is Black Girls in Real Estate the Tour. So follow us again. We're doing Atlanta, Houston, Miami, Charlotte, Houston, Chicago, and Cancun. I got it. That's how it
works. Hey.
All right.
Bye, ladies. Y'all have a good this one. Was fun. Thank y'all you so for the much. Invite.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
You know what, bitch? I love Black women.
Me too. I love us. We're so dope. And anything that we really put our minds to, oh my God, we're going to conquer it all. Seriously.
Yes.
Love it. That was fun.
It was. And, you know, I got a lot of, I know, you know, I actually had a real estate license in South Carolina, but mm-hmm. I never sold any real estate. I just had my shit on, what do they have it? Not suspended, but I worked for a broker for maybe a week so that I can, I guess it's called, I can't remember exactly what they call it, but it's like you make it inactive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But mm-hmm. I was in college getting a real estate license, and I've always known about real estate. Like, this is how you get the bag, but you need money. I was broke. So I realized that while going through the real estate classes, like, I need some fucking money. So I might get back into it.
Yeah, definitely go to their thing in January. I'm going to go.
Shit, I might hit the one up in Atlanta. I think that may be even a little bit sooner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, shit, I'm trying to go to Cancun so I can learn and... be Stella and get my groove back.
Oh, right. Maybe we could do Cancun.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm with it.
And they said they're going to have some in there, too. Mm.
Listen to you.
Hey, but if you guys enjoyed this episode, please tune in every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast at. And don't forget to check out blackeffect.com.
Yes, and don't forget to send us your dumb bitch stories, your Sim series stories, and don't forget to ask your favorite Black friends, AJ and Tam Bam. We're here for you.
Y'all take it easy or suck it easy, whichever one.
Bye, y'all.